Hey, what's up? This is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and in this episode of 10 Minutes With, I talked to Bert Bachman from Slab Barbecue in Los Angeles. You might also know him from Trudy's Underground Barbecue, which he has now graduated from the underground scene to the brick and mortar scene, and this one's really cool. Bert, it's called 10 Minutes With, but with Bert, it's this one turned out to be closer to 30-35 minutes, but it's really enjoyable. He's in his car. He's going to pick up, I think, coffee equipment or some kind of equipment. We get into his new restaurant, talk all about his new restaurant, but it, as things tend to diverge during my conversations, but especially when you talk to Bert, into the philosophical realm, as well as information that he's doing all this stuff on fermentation and pickling and his ideas for the restaurant. And there's a lot of new ideas, a possible additional location someday. It's just, it's really, really great. And he talks specifically too about the barbecue scene and the barbecue scene in Los Angeles and people that he speaks with all the time. It's very informative. I think you'll get a really good chance into the mindset of Bert, and I'm stoked to have the Smoke Sheet on board as a sponsor for the podcast. The Smoke Sheet is a barbecue newsletter. It's available at bbqnewsletter.com. It was created by Ryan Cooper, who is BBQ Tourist, and Sean Ludwig, who is NYC Barbecue. The two of them banded together to put all the barbecue information that they could find and the most current barbecue information into one place. And it's this weekly newsletter, easy to sign up for. And I guarantee you, when you receive it, you'll scroll through the whole thing and read it all, because there's always information that I didn't know about, things that you wouldn't know about, and like openings and closings and restaurants that are expanding or opening additional locations, or things that are happening in the barbecue world. And then there's a recipe of the week, which is a really good recipe, and it's something off the beaten path that they hand curate, as well as it has tons of information on barbecue events that are upcoming. So that way you can sign up for them, book flights and hotel and all that stuff, so they get a chance to really go to some of these events. And especially as we get closer to the barbecue event season, so to speak, it'd be good to sign up for this, so that way you stay on top of those. And then also there's information on new YouTube videos on barbecue or barbecue joints, as well as podcasts. And it's just chock full of information. I know you're going to like it. I highly recommend it. It's bbqnewsletter.com. Again, bbqnewsletter.com. The Smoke Sheet, barbecue news worth consuming. And if you are digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out on any of them. I have a lot coming up. I have a lot in the bank, so to speak, that have already been published. So if you sign up and subscribe, you can make sure you get a lot of the back episodes. I'm really trying to share the barbecue world, and also share up-and-coming barbecue joints and people that are up-and-coming in the barbecue world that may share the same path that you're on. So that way you get a chance to see the struggles that they've gone through and the challenges, and then also the successes. So that way you can kind of mirror your path that way. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with links to all the podcasts, all the YouTube stuff. I visit butcher shops and barbecue joints and a bunch of other stuff. So there's a lot more content on the website. But again, thanks so much for listening. I do appreciate it. Shoot me a message. Let me know what you're thinking. If there's anybody I'm missing out on that I should reach out to, please let me know. But enjoy this.
I'm texting with Matt and Leonard about their... Leonard is trying to put together some kind of a fundraiser for Brian.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's nice. That's really nice.
Go to Houston. What am I going to add to that group? Yeah, but I'll go, you know.
Well, that's cool. Oh, I think that I don't want people to stop getting the momentum to help out Brian, because I feel like everyone gets so excited about something and then they move on to the next thing.
But that's, Kevin, isn't this how it is with everything? It seems like, you know, there's a new restaurant opens up, everybody's after the shiny penny.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know,
for sure.
Like, all right, and what's next? I had today at the restaurant that guy Jonah from Friedman's.
Oh yeah, Friedman.
And
what's the deal with it? What is the deal with that? Is that a deli or what is that?
Yeah, it's like a deli. It's like a modern deli or like a fancy deli. It was nice. He came by, had some pastrami, and I sat and we talked for a bit about social media and about where things are, and you know, we talked about that that shiny penny syndrome that you know everybody's chasing after. What's the new thing? Okay, let's go to Majordomo, go to Nightshade, go to this, to go to that. Yeah, you know, all of these things. So let me see.
That's the hardest thing, is to keep interest and I think that Texas has a good way of doing that. I think that people continue to go to places throughout the year. I don't know how they could keep the momentum, but I guess. But look at Truth. Truth had that was crazy when they first opened the place in Houston, and then
absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely, and it's still going. Yeah. So I don't know. You know, we'll see what happens. We're busy. We're busy. We're doing the pastrami, looking to do some other things. But I'm really desperately looking to play with other flavors, with other things where I can just work with other techniques and other ingredients that we can all somehow fold into the experience of barbecue, part of me, I see this amazing food that, Andrew and Michelle are doing. So it's they're doing all this beautiful food. And what am I going to do? More of the same food? If Andrew was around when I was starting out, I probably wouldn't have been doing barbecue, because I would have gone to Moosecraft, to go eat barbecue,
That's a good point.
And I would probably, try to do other things, I've always cooked, and I've always wanted to cook certain things and travel. Like I always talk about travel and time, and cook. But
can you explain a little bit? We'll start off with what you said 3 minutes ago when you started to talk about you experimenting with different things. Because I want these things to be, this is kind of like part of the 10 minutes with, but it'll probably be 20 minutes, I'm sure, with you and I.
Sure.
But can you talk about Slam and then your philosophy about what you're doing and what you plan
on? Is it okay like this?
I think it's fine. Like, yeah, why not?
Yeah. On the move.
Yeah. That's life.
On the move. Yeah. That is life. As I'm on my way to pick up, some things from, this my Breville guy, and then drop off some caviar to somebody. Somehow I turn into a caviar dealer.
Yeah. How did that happen?
I don't know, but it's kind of sexy,
It is really sexy.
Selling caviar, and I'm trying to get Otium as a caviar account, and then not to make any money out of it, just to make caviar out of it. I just want to get, just throw me a couple of tins once in a while, and everybody's happy. So I got a drop of caviar and pick up. Let's do it.
Let's talk about Slab. So how long have you been open now?
So Slab, now we've been open, we're on the way to 4 months. God, it feels like it's been longer than that.
It does.
It's just 4 months. It really feels longer than that. I haven't spent the night in the restaurant. I haven't slept in the restaurant in quite a bit. And it seems like ages ago that I slept in the restaurant, but I've spent many nights in that place. Which was great, to get to know the smoker and to the how it works and the process. But our menu, just like many other barbecue joints, it's kind of limited. We don't even have the Trinity, because we have not been doing sausages this whole time. We only are going to start doing sausages or at least work on sausage this week, when I finally have my toys arriving tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
But in the meanwhile, while we've been doing brisket and spare ribs and baby back ribs and chicken and pulled pork and, the usual sides and whatnot, you get kind of bored. I don't know if bored is necessarily the word, but it's like a mix of bored, complacent.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same movements. It's the same timing on us pulling, meats out, getting things in. Look, we're working with this Southern Pride smoker, which is very efficient. I give it to that, but our briskets, when they're going in, and they're going in at about 13 pounds, they're done in about 12 hours, like clockwork. So whether it's raining outside or windy outside or cold outside, we're still going to be done around the same time. I don't have the wind, I don't have the rain indoors. So it's very, very consistent. The process for me is very consistent. So you know.
Do you like that?
Do I like it? I mean, look, you know, it has its pros and cons. You know, it's some of the fun of the process, the whole dance with the wood and moving things around and figuring out how to position things and that, you know, perpetual game that you have with heat maintenance, with barbecue, part of that is really, most of it's gone, you know? So when people message me and say like, Bert, I'd love to come by and learn, I tell them there's nothing for me to teach you because we're not using a real smoker, yeah. You know? There's nothing, unfortunately, for me to show you. So, but it has its pros and cons, you know? I definitely admire and like envy, you know, the fun that like Andrew gets to have with his beautiful smokers. So it's cool, but you know, even if we were using the smokers that I've used before and we were doing offsets and not doing the Southern Pride, we would still get the same, we're doing the same things, you know, we're cooking the same dishes, the same thing, same salads, and after a while your palate, mm-hmm. your taste buds, yeah. I feel get burned and get numb to the salt and pepper and smoke and it's the same. So what about other techniques? What about other flavors? What about other ingredients? You know, so that's the challenges that I have. I have a small kitchen, I have a limited space, I have no space in the smoker. The stoves are always full with us working on the sides, keep on making the mac and the collard greens and whatever it may be, the beans. So I'm kind of like with my hands tied. Mm-hmm. So like I've been really itching to get new techniques, new ingredients, new textures, new flavors, you know, get some acid in my life, get some balance of, you know, from all the fat. You know, I don't want to get to a point where I hate barbecue. I don't want to get to a point where I don't like barbecue or don't like brisket. God forbid. So
yeah, yeah.
So you know, I stumbled, you know, onto this whole fermentation world.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that Rene stuff. Yeah,
of course. So after following, you know, Rene Redzepi and other chefs, said, look, fermentation, pickling, things like that, have been around forever, way before Rene was alive. You know, this is. You know, it goes back as far as time, you know, this garums, this salt and the effect of salt on food and just
preservation. These byproducts. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, I started to play with these things and it's been great. You know, it's as simple as having a large, huge, like a gallon or a bucket that's full of sauerkraut, you know. Mm-hmm. Look at these guys. They had pastrami. No more pastrami. What's going on?
What's that?
It was a couple that I saw earlier today, coincidentally at the restaurant. They came to celebrate the dad's birthday, and they came by for pastrami. And I just saw them right now.
That's funny.
It's so funny. What a small world.
Today is Monday. Monday is pastrami day at Slack.
Today is Monday. Monday is pastrami day. So we started pastrami day at the restaurant because, you know, Monday is always a little bit slower. It's mellow. And, you know, let's do something exciting to get people through. And it's worked. It's worked.
Oh,
you know,
because and it's Monday fantastic.
It's great. And thank you. You know, look, I really, as I realized that a while ago, as I've been pursuing brisket and that process that really... It's not brisket for me. It's pastrami. You know, growing up as a Jewish kid here in LA and here in America, you know, pastrami is everything. That's mm-hmm. my time travel. You know, so I love it. I love it.
So with the sauerkrauts, what are you thinking about doing with the sauerkrauts?
The sauerkraut. You know, so today I have this sauerkraut that has a lot of coriander in it, which you have in the pastrami, coriander and juniper, which I really love those two spices. And so I have some nice coriander in my sauerkraut. And, you know, it's fermenting now and we're just eating it. So I'm just saying just to as simple as having a sauerkraut fermenting mm-hmm. in the kitchen that we can just pick out and eat because we're always nibbling on the mac and cheese, on the beans, on the pork, on something just to see how it is. And now to be able to add some fermented ingredients on top of the barbecue will be great. So we've started this like fermentation side of the restaurant where we will be fermenting all kinds of vegetables, pickling all kinds of fruits.
Oh, so great.
You know, making yogurts, making some cheese, making some different things, and things that we'll be able to combine with barbecue. We'll be able to plate. I'll be able to use the plates that I made, make some plates, make some dishes, and combine like a whole world of techniques and cuisines into a plate. So who knows? You know, there's no particular intention. There's no particular map or layout or anything set. The idea is for, like I'm telling the guys in the kitchen, the guys and girls, let's just mess up. Let's just fail forward. Let's just, you know, let's do things and think to ourselves, like, what are we doing? This makes no sense. This makes no sense. This makes no sense. Until
great.
Something is going to make sense and it's going to hit and we will be inspired. We're making the most simple recipes of fermentation for most simple ingredients, lacto berries and fruits. And that's just a mix in general of fruits by weight, 3% of the weight of salt, and that's it. And you keep it in a jar with a small, some kind of a weight, or like a Ziploc bag full of beans or water to push it down. And we start playing with that. And then after we do it a few times, we'll start figuring out, okay, we can manipulate this flavor, we can manipulate this texture, we can do this, change the color, you know. So like this blueberries, we mixed up blueberries with 3% salt. Oh, after a week or so, you saw how much liquid got out of that blueberry. That blueberry juice now was, you know, was salty. You can reduce that juice that still has some sugar in it. You can cook that. We reduced that and brushed that on steaks that were cooking over oak, over some coals. And you know what? Let me tell you, comes out great because it's a flavor. It's like natural MSG. It's natural flavoring. And it's something you can't get in the store. So it's
an interesting balance that you've created, that with the char,
you know,
with
some,
the
something like a combination of these. You know, we'll roast some tomatoes, keep the tomatoes on, you know, in a jar, cover them with olive oil, use that olive oil, takes on another flavor. You know, to take all the scraps from the vegetables that we, you know, we peel all these carrots or onions and vegetables. We take that, we'll dry that stuff up, we'll turn it into powder, or, you know, like the carrots today, we dried up all the skins, you know, they were in the trash. And we always throw them in the trash and tell the guys, like, this is for sure. Look how good it smells. You know, it smells like fresh carrots. It smells beautiful. There's definitely something here. If nothing else, we can use it for a vegetable stock. We can collect it and use it for a vegetable stock. We can use it for other things. And what we did is just grind it up. Sorry, look at me driving.
It's so
around
funny. It's so funny. It's going to be so funny for people.
and I'm going to pull over but all right, I pulled over. But you know what we did is dried up, took the peels, put them in the oven, dried them up. They got, you know, they shrunk up, they shriveled up, they became dry. We crunched them up in a mortar pestle. I ground it up. Huh. You add some salt, you keep grinding it up, and then you end up with this carrot salt. So now you have this carrot salt. You know, you can't even see the salt or the carrot. It's just single, you know, texture. And you take that, you have a jar now of this orange carrot salt, and it tastes like salt, tastes like carrots, it tastes like carrots, and it's got that saltiness. And you sprinkle that on something delicate like fish. So you can take a fish, you know, you can do a fish on like the Japanese grill, take that fish, get some kind of a potato, some kind of a pom puree, some kind of whatever it may be. You can make a carrot oil, you know, you'll roast some oil, some carrots with some oil. You can puree it, strain it. You'll have the oil, run it through a cheesecloth. You'll have the oil, so you can have the carrot oil with the potatoes and nice delicate fish on top of that, and then some of that carrot salt, and maybe even some of that carrot skins on top of that. So whatever, wow. But.
So you don't want to be stagnant. You just want to.
I don't. Yeah, because let's do other things. All of a sudden I got this feeling thinking to myself like, oh my God, listen, I'm not taking anything away from people who do this all the time. More power to them. I absolutely. But what if I find myself in 20 years doing the same briskets again? I understand the briskets will be amazing. It'll be great. But what else can we do? We're walking by in LA. We're walking by palm trees. And we're walking by certain bushes. We have certain smells. We have certain ingredients. How can we bring it into barbecue,
So do you think things that you're doing right now will be explored in the restaurant itself?
Yeah. We're starting this fermentation division, like I call it, like our own fermentation lab, like they have at Noma. Thank you. And, and this is also an opportunity for everybody in the kitchen to have ideas about sausage, about...
That's great.
Whatever it may be, what else can we do? What else can we do,
And this is good for their lives, too. For them moving forward, I think that they can bring to their families
and
to their...
And we'll see. So, for now, we have in our larder of fermentation things, we have some chamomile vinegar. We have that carrot salt. We have those comfy roasted tomatoes. We have these lacto plums. So these plums have been salted and have taken on another kind of shape and taste and flavor and the juice that comes out of that. We have this garlic. Oh, man, Kevin, you take garlic and you just, again, 3% of the weight, salt to garlic. The garlic, after several days, turn into this yellow, like this, really this yellow color, and like this such a fragrant garlic. And then we added some olive oil to that. We added to we're trying things out in the kitchen. That garlic is great. I've had this feta cheese that was sitting with peppers, with some chilies, that was sitting in some olive oil for 6 months. Strained it, the feta cheese that was cubed up after 6 months in the oil. It's in this anaerobic environment. There's no air, so it preserves itself. So the cheese took on a color on the inside that was so nice, and it was my wife and doesn't want to try it and doesn't want to let the kids try it, but she's scared. But it spreads so nice. We strained it out. I have this beautiful spicy oil that can go on other things. I guess I'm just going through it.
Yeah, it sounds like you're in the early stages of something magical almost.
We have the sausage, the things that are coming. I got refractor that will help tell me how much alcohol or how much sugar is in the liquid, my pH, testing things. I have no idea. And that's what's exciting. I have no idea what it is.
That's so exciting.
I don't understand it. So for me to be able to, it's a whole new world, to get into, to understand the language and the logic behind fermentation and cheese making and whatever it is, just to learn it and then to figure out a way to apply that stuff and this knowledge to barbecue, to other things, to overall enhance the experience for the person who's coming by to eat. So now, we're going to start doing a shawarma, big shawarma skewer outside, hopefully on Fridays, start doing shawarma at the restaurant.
Oh, wow.
So that shawarma is obviously a nod to my childhood of growing up in Israel. But it will be an elevated shawarma, like we've done before with some buddies of mine here, with pekania, with lamb belly, with some Israeli Middle Eastern spices, Jerusalem spice, and whatnot. We'll make our tortillas with, we're going to make tortillas with beef tallow.
Tallow, that's nice.
And it'll be a la al pastor style tacos, but there'll be shawarma, And then we're right next to this tequila bar. People come by, I guess I'm looking for a party, you know, Kevin. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for to have music playing, cars going by, people stopping by, slicing some. You know, when I grew up, when I would go and have shawarma with my mom in Israel, I would see these guys, and they're up there, and they're cutting up the shawarma like champions. That looked like they're having so much fun. Mm-hmm. It was the same, very similar to when I got my first smoker. And like I probably told you this before, when I got my first smoker, and I couldn't wait to just open the door. Mm-hmm. Just to see what it feels like to open the door. What does it feel like? Is it heavy? Is it not? It's heavy, you know? And like
it's really heavy most of the time.
You know, so it's like, I want to see what it's like to cut the shawarma, to make tacos, you know, to be that guy. Because I remember those guys when I was young. I want to be that guy, you know? And then, like, I see these guys in Turkey and doing, you know, they take their bread, you know, and just rub it on the meat. Yeah. Get all that fat on it.
Oh.
Cut it up. Oh. Boom, 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 boom.
Oh.
That's let's have some fun.
Yeah, that's exciting. I think a lot of people, maybe when they envisioned you opening up a barbecue restaurant, like a brick and mortar, didn't maybe know the intention that, or maybe you didn't even know the intention, but you knew you wanted to do something different though.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. And we gotta keep growing, you know, like we can't be, okay, I'm, you know, in barbecue, I love brisket. I love all of that. I love that experience. But you know, like if I want barbecue, I rather just myself in a way. Of course we have a business and all that, but like I rather go to Smorgasbord, get a tray from Andrew, sit there, hang out with them, and then go cook other things and then go do other things, you know. But look, I love it. You know, we're still looking for other locations, you know. Slab is still gonna grow, but I hope that with time these things that we will hopefully discover in the near future will apply into this, into barbecue, you know? Yeah. I don't know. I guess I don't know where I'm going.
That's it's exciting, and it's really early. It's in the infancy right now, so there's not a...
Absolutely.
Who knows? And absolutely. And so people that are just watching this that don't know enough about Slab or have heard about it, it's open 7 days a week.
We're 7 days a week. We start at 11. We're very, you know... a lot like many joints in Texas, we start at 11 and we go as long as we can. You know, on the cold and rainy days, we've had a couple times that we lasted till 7 p.m. But usually we're out by like about 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
4 o'clock.
And people need to know they don't need to be anxious. They could just casually come in. It's like, don't rush over. Like,
yeah. We don't have crazy lines. It's not Franklin's, you know. I don't know what the rhyme and reason is behind it. Sometimes it's completely mellow and easy going. Sometimes we have a crazy line. I still don't know what the reason is behind it.
But you get people through pretty quick.
Yeah, absolutely. I always apologize for people for the wait, you know. I want them to come in. I mean, it's not fast food, you know. We didn't cook it fast, but I want everybody to be happy. You know, there's good music. We greet everybody. We want everyone to have a good time.
Desserts wise, like the dessert, is that something from Oprah's favorite thing? Is that from Doughboys?
That's right. So we have this red velvet cupcake, which is what the previous establishment was known for. So before us used to be this another place. They're called Doughboys, and Doughboys had this red velvet cake that was Oprah Winfrey's favorite cake, and it's amazing, kind of funny, and I love it.
It's really great. Yeah.
So we got the recipe in the lease. We got the recipe, and we've been making the red velvet cake ever since. You know, and you know, hoping for Oprah to come get it. She has not been by, but you know, other people have been by. It's awesome. Yeah, we're doing the pecan. We're doing this pecan bar. We're doing this red velvet. But, you know, that also is going to start evolving and changing.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Other recipes, other, you know, dishes. You know, I love the idea of this time travel with food, you know. Like I can smell certain things and, you know, just like anybody else, you can smell something and it can take you to a certain time.
Take you right there, yeah.
Absolutely, and that can happen with... you know, with cooking, with food, you know, you can smell something and it can take you back in time. or you could, you know, you could eat something that can take you into the future.
Yeah, you realize that, like, you had, you try something, you think, wow, I've never had something at all like this, and it's astounding.
That's right. That's right. You know, and so the thing is that when you start fermenting and creating this lacto, this lactic acid bacteria, whatever it stands for, you know, these things, you can use these drops. It's kind of like this natural soy sauce that you're making from other ingredients to elevate the flavors of whatever you have. So you can take this chamomile vinegar and drop it a couple drops into baked beans.
Wow.
You know, so it, and you would never know it. You would
taste it,
like, what is this? What is that? I'm like, this is chamomile vinegar, you know, or whatever it may be. So it's a whole new world, you know. Excellent. It's like, I feel like Christopher Columbus now.
Well, that's awesome. Well, with these 10 minutes things, I liked it, which obviously ours went longer and most went. I like to ask three questions that aren't barbecue related. So can I ask you this question?
Please.
First off, what are you listening to right now? What's on your playlist at the moment?
Oh, my playlist right now is a lot. Is out of the last, my top 10 songs, 7 of them are probably that Shallow song by Lady Gaga, and you know.
Oh wow. What's his name? Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper. Yes, my kids love that song. So we sing that song in the car all the time.
That's so funny.
And you know, I Matt Horn and I visited Andrew while he was cooking when Matt was in town, and Matt brought out a bottle of Hennessy and a playlist of Muddy Waters. And you know, now I've been playing so much Muddy Waters in the restaurant because it takes me back to that time that I hung out with Matt and Andrew, and we sat there. It rained a little bit, but you know what? We were in this parking lot. We had the most amazing smell in the air from Andrew's pits. We had a little bit of Hennessy there, and we had some Muddy Waters, and man, it was so nice. So I play it in the restaurant to, you know, so I can travel back to that experience. But Muddy Waters and Lady Gaga.
That's so funny. Interesting. That's really interesting. So what if you weren't doing what you're doing right now, what would you want to be doing? Is it art related?
It's going to be art related. Definitely wake up in the morning, make myself a latte. You know what? I'm going to be 43 this year. I never in my life drank coffee until I got into barbecue, just to keep me up and warm. You know, I got into drinking coffee. And now, look, it's not that I drink coffee all the time, but I definitely drink it more often now than ever before. And for me, the idea of just waking up, making a coffee, sitting in the sunlight, looking at a canvas and painting. I know it sounds crazy to people.
Sounds great.
But it sounds great, but crazy, like, oh, you know, how can you make a living? That's of course, the trick. But, you know, if I could paint, you know, and record my energy with color, would be great. So hopefully somehow I could get into that. I just got my first, you know, story that I did with some art. You know, that's my break into the art world.
That's great, yeah.
That was great, you know. There's a lot of inspiration in color. Mm-hmm. So, but I would definitely be getting into something that's art related.
And that's something too. Sure. If people follow your old at Trudy's Underground Bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could. I'll put a link to it. People can see. Yeah, you can see your
Trudy's
love with color.
Trudy's_underground_barbecue.
Yeah.
Like that.
They could.
I think if you just type Trudy's, it usually pops
it'll
up.
It'll pop up. Yeah, Trudy's. And they could see. Yeah. Then they could see your love of color too. With that.
I do love color.
Yeah. And then lastly, what's your favorite restaurant right now that's not barbecue or restaurants?
Aside from the obvious that my number one is In-N-Out, you know, you know, my two favorites are Bad Mash, this Indian restaurant owned by a couple of friends of mine that's around the corner from the restaurant. Amazing Indian joint.
Yeah, so good.
And of course, Bavel, which is owned and chefed by my buddy and a hero of mine, just because it's this Israeli guy from the streets of from Israel who is here in LA. He's not French, he's not Italian, and he's just such an amazing chef. He's such an amazing cook. He's so smart, you know, so inspiring for me. And I'm actually fortunate enough to have him, as to have his ear, that when I want to cure and talk about these things, you know, he offers me a lot of help. Ori Menashe, and
that's in downtown, right?
That's in downtown. Yeah. Yeah, and Chad Colby. Chad Colby was one of Nancy Silverton's chefs at Chispaca, who also has been helping me with meat curing. So those are definitely it. But, you know, there's a lot of amazing, exciting food in L.A. Now we got the Michelin coming back. You know, I know that there's like at least one barbecue joint that's going after a Michelin star, which is amazing. You know, good for them. I hope they get it.
Yeah, I hope they get it, too. I really do.
I hope they get it. I don't know if it's a pet store or something or not, but, you know, I hope they get it. But, you know, as long as you have some fun and you do it and you're creative and really genuinely want everybody to succeed. I saw, you know, Michelle, Andrew's wife, posted something that I'll probably never forget in my life, you know, that I thought it was so good. And it said that other people's success will not limit yours, which is so nice.
That
you know?
Is so nice. Just and that's important. It's hard in life to sometimes to see other people. Yeah. And I think that's a very important lesson in general.
Today in the restaurant, today at Slab, this guy comes and he says, "Oh, Bert, you know, I used to come to the backyard. It was amazing. Don't you miss that smoker? Don't you miss that barbecue from that smoker?" I said, "Yeah, you know, that was them. But you know, if you like that type of barbecue, you know, from that smoker, you should definitely go to the smorgasbord, check out my buddy, you know, Andrew and Moosecraft." He's like, "Why are you promoting another place?" He was like so turned off that I was telling him to go.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah, it was so strange. Like you can see, like everything was going so well, and then I recommended him to check out somebody else. He was so. I felt like I think I lost him as a customer.
I think you did. You probably did.
I may have lost him. He's probably going to Andrew now. You know, but which is fine.
Yeah, we should like it. It doesn't hurt to lift everyone up. It's just,
no, of course not.
What is
that?
Isn't there some saying like all boats rise? Or
Of course. And that's what takes me back to what Michelle Beau said. Other people's success not going to limit mine. You know, it's not. I'm not competing with anybody.
It's inspiring.
So he's like, "Why are you promoting somebody else? Why are you endorsing, promoting, public? I don't know." He said something about to the effect of like, you know, "Why are you talking about other people?"
I think that's actually a great way to end this.
if anybody is listening to this, if you're in the LA area, come check us out. We're on 3rd Street. If you're here on the weekend, come check us out and or go also to Smorgasbord in downtown. You'll see our good friend Andrew over there, who's a barbecue ninja. The guy is like the Miyagi of barbecue. You know, he's an amazing guy, and I'm very happy to be in the sandbox with him. Like I always say, we're all in the sandbox. We're playing it together. And, you know, it's really a privilege for me to be in the same sandbox as these guys.
Well, and it's a privilege to be on text threads with you guys and to be friends with you guys. Because
I love it.
It's all fun.
Kevin, we talk every day.
Every day. Yeah, that's great. I love it.
I talk to you more than I talk to almost anyone I know, to you and Andrew and Michelle.
The same, I know. And like sometimes I'll come back to my phone and there's like 35 texts and I'm like, whoa, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, have a great day, Bert. Thank you so much. And we'll talk soon. We'll talk tonight.
Of course. Sorry, guys, to be in the car. See you.
Hey, no, that's cool. Bye. That's great.
Bye.